Resurrection life smells good. It smells good. Don't you like it when something smells good? Maybe you're even starting to think about your Sunday lunch. How it's going to smell when you get back home. We all like a good smell. Let me ask you this. Of all the senses, which sense is most important to you and why? Right? Let me ask you this. All right? If you were going to prioritize one sense over all the others, hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch, which one would you prioritize? Which one matters to you the most? Danny?
Listening to my wife.
Oh, hearing.
He has to do a lot of listening.
Wow. So, hearing. Danny values hearing because he loves to listen to his wife. Okay. I think that's earned you an Easter egg. Yeah. Sight.
Yeah.
Sight. If you're going to prioritize one, anybody else?
Sight
again. Yeah. Sight. What do you think? Again, sight's getting a lot of priority here. Any other thoughts for any of the other senses that you'd really taste? Taste. The way to your heart is your stomach. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying your wife cooks good food? Okay. I mean, none of us would like to lose any of our senses, right? But taste is a very significant one for lots of reasons. It's one of the ways we developed to avoid poisonous plants is to know the taste of those, without even knowing it, as life developed. My father, some of you have met my father, he's 89 this year, I think. He lost his sense of smell decades ago. He had some kind of sinus problem. He's not been able to smell anything for, several decades. Poor chap. That's quite something. During the pandemic, of course, in COVID, a lot of people lost their sense of smell, right? Temporarily, but for a lot of people. But one of the effects for me of the COVID pandemic, I didn't lose my sense of smell, but some things did smell very strange at times. And ever since COVID, now and again, I'll be just walking around doing something, and I get a phantom smell. I don't know if you ever have this kind of thing happen to you, but I get a phantom smell, and that phantom smell is dog poo. I just be going around doing nothing, and I think I've walked in some dog poo. I check my shirt. No, nothing there. It's just, in fact, I was out this morning for my prayer walk, and I found some dog poo. I thought, just in case you want to sympathize with me, would you like? Because you know, I want you to empathize with me. I want you to feel sorry for me. No, you don't. You don't want any. You don't want to smell. You sure? You sure? No. Actually, I'm just kidding. It's some of Penny's compost. Yeah. No, I won't be wasted. Is going back home to the garden. But we're used to the idea of smell being a literal thing, but also a metaphor for things, like the smell of fear. That kind of idea. The smell of fear. Smell of fear, the smell of excitement, various things like that. So we're going to investigate this a bit today. Let's think about the fact that of all things in life that smell bad, even worse than dog poo, I would say the thing that smells the worst is death, in a metaphorical sense as well as a literal sense. You may remember that when Lazarus died in John chapter 11, he was buried and Jesus arrived 4 days later. And as Martha says to Jesus, because Jesus says, take the stone away. I've got something to do here. Take the stone away. And she says, but Lord, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been there 4 days. And of course, in that culture and many other cultures, it's one of the reasons that you would embalm a body with spices. so that as it decomposed, it wouldn't smell as bad in the local neighborhood, wherever the tomb was, wherever the body was buried. There were some ritual reasons for that as well, but part of it was just practical. And as then the flesh and all that decayed, you'd be left with the bones in the end after about a year or so. And then in that culture, in the Jewish culture, they would then take the bones and put them in a box. But the spices were there to limit the effect of the smell. And that explains why in John 19, as Jesus was buried, Nicodemus, he brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 75 pounds of spices. There are probably some of us in this room that don't weigh much more than 75 pounds. Some of the younger ones, anyway. That's a lot, isn't it? It's to go around Jesus' body mixed into the cloth that's put around him. They take his body, the two of them, that's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, and they wrap the body with the spices in strips of linen in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. You know, physical death smells bad. Any of us that have had the misfortune to be around someone who's died for any length of time know that it's a very unpleasant experience. But death smells bad in a lot of ways. Let me ask you, let me make this point, I think, that it's one thing to die, and we'll talk more about life in a moment, but it's another thing to be sort of the living dead, to be wandering through life without a purpose, to be drifting without knowing where we're going, without a sense of meaning. And maybe you can relate to this personally, that perhaps you've had this experience of just getting on with your life, just mechanistically going to school, going to work, doing whatever we do, but not really feeling like we're really living. Maybe if you're in that place today, what I would ask you to do is reflect upon the fact that what Jesus promises is he promises us a different life. And there is the opportunity for a very, very different kind of life. If we acknowledge that the way we're living is really a life of living death. You know, the things in life that really matter are things that begin in this life but extend into eternity and not just now. You know, in preparation for this lesson, I spent some time, I ended up not doing this, but I spent some time watching YouTube videos of old cheesy deodorant adverts. There are so many, and they're really very funny, most of them. But I ended up not showing, but I did think that, you know, deodorant is a good metaphor. Because deodorant, I'm not going to ask you if you use deodorant or what kind you use, although if you're sitting on your own, I wonder whether that's a message, Lance, for people who don't want to sit near you. But but the thing about deodorant is it has to be used every day. It never changes anything. It's temporary. And there are so many things in our lives that we do, we absorb ourselves in, that are temporary relief from the emptiness of life. But Jesus offers something much more profound. Death smells bad, but resurrection life smells good. You'll notice that on the day of the resurrection, when the Sabbath is over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they bought spices. So Nicodemus had those 75 pounds, but actually that wasn't the full amount that would normally be used in a Jewish burial, so even more. So they buy some spices on effectively what is Sunday morning, as we would see it, and then they go to anoint Jesus's body. They think his body will smell bad. It's been in the tomb because he was put in the tomb on the Friday night, right? He's crucified on the Friday. He's there all day Saturday. This is now Sunday morning. He's going to be smelling bad, and they don't have enough spices yet on that body. So they get more and they go there. But when they get there, what do they discover? The stone is rolled away. There's no body. Indeed, then they tell others, and John and Peter run to the tomb, and John bends over and looks in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. They leave confused. And what happens next in John is that Mary meets Jesus in the garden, in that place. And she doesn't at first recognize him, remember? And he has to speak to her and says, Mary. And then she realizes who it is. And she says, Rabboni. And she tries to hold on to him. And he says, no, this is I'm not staying for long. But go and tell everybody else I am risen and I will meet them. Here's the thing about this whole scene. The scene when the women arrive. The scene when Peter and John arrive. The scene when Mary meets Jesus. There are no spices needed anymore. No spices are needed. The women have bought these spices. They must have been, I doubt they were cheap. They buy all these spices. They carry them all the way to the tomb. They anticipate using them. Now there is no use for them. Can you imagine what it might be like? They're all chatting to each other. What are we going to do with these spices now? I mean, they're going to carry them now all the way home. And you can imagine their neighbor saying, what are you doing with the spices? I thought you went to buy spices to take them to put around Jesus. And like, well, yeah, we went and we bought the spices, but you've come back with them. Why have you come back with them? Why haven't you used them? And the women would have to say, well, we couldn't find him. He wasn't there. He wasn't in the tomb. I mean, there's no need for the spices. And then Mary, when she meets Jesus, realizes why. It's because he has new life. There are no spices needed because there's no bad smell. And this leads to a sense of hope. And this is why we have hope, my friends. We have hope because death is not the end. Death in this life is not the end. We don't have to live in death and we don't have to see death as the end of all things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes this very poetic idea here in verses 14 to 16, which I really like. And he says, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Now, Paul in this passage is mixing some images and metaphors that people of the day would have been familiar with. Last week in the sermon that Paul Smith did for us, he talked about the triumphal processions that people of the time would have had, a Roman general or a king or an emperor or somebody like that. And when you had a victory, a military victory, you would take all the captives, which were then slaves, and you would lead them through the streets of the city. And you'd have incense being burned to make the place smell nice. You'd have sacrifices going on. And you'd have things like rose petals and things that smelled nice on the road. And so as you drove along and all the prisoners and all the slaves were there in a procession showing how amazing and wonderful you are and how victorious you've been, you've got them being crushed and nice smells being released for all the spectators. And he's mixing some ideas here around that. And he's saying, well, we are sweet, we are strong-smelling people. If we have Christ in us, we smell like him, and we bring life to the world. Now, for some people, though, because they don't want that, we smell like death. They don't have that desire for what Jesus brings. But for others, we smell like life. We have Christ's life in us. Our new lives, a Christian's new life smells good to people who want that new life. I've got something here. These are some sprigs of rosemary from Penny's garden. She picked this morning. And could I ask, can we pass them out and everybody take a piece? Let me have one. Thank you. Take a sprig of rosemary. It's not chocolate coated, sorry, but I wouldn't recommend eating it. But let's pass those out, shall we? It's really pungent, isn't it? It's really strong. This whole room is going to smell of rosemary by the time we're done here. And you can just smell it, or if you crush a little bit in between your fingers, it's even stronger. And you just crush it a bit, and it's very strong. Thinking about lamb roast, Danny. Thinking about his stomach again. Okay. Sorry you can't do this at home, wherever you are online. You'll have to imagine the rosemary. So you have to imagine it. Everybody got a piece?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just smell that for a minute. It's going to get onto your fingers as well. And all right, your fingers are starting to smell a bit of that rosemary. Ever so slightly better than dog poo, right? Sorry. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget. You know, when you've been a Christian a while, and like decades, and you've known about the resurrection, and you know and believe that Jesus did rise from the dead, and you know you have hope, and you know your sins are forgiven. Sometimes I think we can forget, I forget, how amazing it is that I have new life. How amazing it is that I share in Christ's life. Like, this life isn't really, it is mine, but it isn't in one way, right? It's Christ's life in me. I have a life that continues beyond this life. I didn't earn it. I couldn't deserve it. I couldn't purchase it. It's just given. And now and again, we need to remember how sweet that smells to people, to some people. It doesn't smell sweet to everybody. But what we live, how we live like Christ enables others to know that there is hope. There's a better way to live. We don't have to live a dog poo life. We can live a rosemary-scented life, whatever your favorite thing is, right? We do live that. And we live it because Jesus submitted himself to death on the cross so that God, through his power, would raise him from the dead and give him new life. And something to bear in mind about this, which is a little technical perhaps, but I find very inspiring personally, is this. There's a big difference between Lazarus and Jesus. They both came back, in a sense, to life. But what's the difference?
Jesus is alive today.
Jesus is still alive. Whereas Lazarus, right, he died, he lived, he died again. And that was the last time, right? It was, right? He still died. Now, but the life of Jesus is ongoing. And this is really helpful in our prayer, in our relationship with Jesus. Because we're talking, praying to somebody who knows what our lives are like now. Remember, he was made like us in every way. So he knows what our life is like because he still, in a sense, lives it. Now, he lives it in the other realm, but he's still living life. He's not thinking back to 2,000 years ago, what his life was like then. Let me think. Can I remember 2,000 years ago? Maybe I can relate to Bemi if I think back to 2,000 years ago. No, he's living. He still lives. Now, all of that and what it means is a little bit of a mystery. I have to confess, I don't fully understand it. But it gives me great comfort to know that he still understands because he lives. And he wasn't resuscitated. This is the other big difference between Lazarus and Jesus. Jesus was not resuscitated. He was resurrected. And there's a difference. Lazarus was resurrected, brought back, was resuscitated, brought back to the life he had. Jesus was resurrected to a completely new life. Big difference. Anyway, we could do a seminar on that another time, on the details. But I would like to encourage us to do it. I'm going to close with these thoughts. I'm not going to unpack this now, but I want to offer this to you as something you could take away. Did I put this on the Watford Word?
Yes.
I think I did. Okay, good. All right, so it's on the Watford Word handout, or you can take a screenshot or picture, whatever. But one of the things I think for us to think about is that now that we have this new life and its fragrance is so good, how do we live it? How do we maintain this good aroma. I mean, these sprigs of rosemary will, sadly, you know, they'll fade and they'll have to go into the compost, like the rest of our compost, right? But we can continue to live the aroma of Christ. And I suggest five ways here for us to read those scriptures and meditate and pray on them, perhaps talk about them together. Having the attitude of Christ. That's Philippians chapter 2, having the same attitude as him. Being ready in Luke 12. Being obedient to his Father in John 14. Being merciful, because he is merciful. And actually being amazing, not like in a sense you and I and our flesh are amazing, but just that with Christ in us, it's quite amazing what God can do in us because of Christ being in us. So those are some scriptures you might want to look at so that you can maintain smelling like Jesus in that sense. In a moment, Penny's going to come and pray for us, and then we'll take bread and wine together. But let's finish on this scripture and description about Jesus. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, that's you and me, he, that's Jesus, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You and I don't have to fear death. I don't want to die right now, but I don't have to fear it, because I'm going to follow Christ into that next realm and share in his life because he's given me that new life. I'm going to carry this aroma of Christ with me through life, I pray, and then into the next life. Resurrection life smells good. Do you want that life? If you have that life, then live into it the best you can. If you don't have this life, or you're not sure, then let's talk. Because Jesus wants you to have a resurrection life that smells good. Penny's going to come and pray.